Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Triangulation is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Triangulation with Tom Merritt and Leo Laporte. Episode 22, recorded August 31st, 2011. David Allen, Getting Things Done. Triangulation is brought to you by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly. All streamed directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, go to netflix.com/twit. It's time for Triangulation. Once again, we interview one of the greatest thinkers in the world. Tom Merritt and I, it's good to see you again, Tom. And actually, this is a guy that I've admired for many, many years. I've used his system for almost as many. And, boy, I've listened to his audiobooks. I've listened to his seminars. We even sent three of our staffers to his seminar most recently. Chad, you did it, right?
Yeah.
Chad and Lisa. And who else went? Lynn went with you, right? Or no, Lisa. Liz. That's right. I don't need to introduce him. Everybody knows Getting Things Done. That's the name of the first book. David Allen is here for us on Triangulation. David, good to talk to you.
Hi, Leo. Hi, Tom. Delighted to be here.
Thanks for joining us. I just realized this must be the 10th anniversary of Getting Things Done.
You know, time flies.
That's great. How did you come to this system?
I'm the laziest guy in the world.
Yeah.
I wake up in the morning and say, how much easier can I get from here to there? And I drilled that in my own personal growth path down into more subtle levels, where how do you get clear? You know, what does clear really mean? So understanding and sort of grokking and having some experiences of what I now refer to as the strategic value of clear space. What's it like to have a clear head when the world around you doesn't want you to, you know, makes that hard to do?
You use a phrase that really resonated with me in GTD, which is mind like water.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very cool.
What does that mean, mind like water?
Well, it just means you're not over or underreacting to whatever stimulus you're getting.
A pond reacts exactly, precisely so to the pebble dropped into it, not more, not less.
Yeah. You're not taking one meeting to the next. You're not taking home to work. You know, come on.
I really resonated with this idea in Getting Things Done when I read it about not holding things in your mind and taking that stress off you and not carrying that stress around. Because I've had that experience where, you know, you feel like you've got this huge list of things to do and all of these things that are getting in your way, and it paralyzes you. And then when you actually just take the simple step of writing them down, you realize, oh, that's three things.
Yeah.
I can knock those out, you know, delegate them.
Guys, I guess it's... The good news is job security. The bad news is, when is the world going to wake up that your psyche is not your system?
Yeah, it's not your scratch pad.
I mean, as soon as you know, I did a seminar, I don't know, God, it's got to be 10 years ago. And this woman comes up afterwards. She says, oh, my God, David, you know what you're talking about? I said, what am I talking about? She said, this is distributed cognition. She was a psychologist. Huh. I said, distributed cognition. I said, what do you mean? You mean write it down? She said, well, that's another way to say it. I'm going, well, what?
That won't get me a grant, but yes. You know,
but we laugh, but come on, guys. It takes the best of the best of the best to change their habit of keeping potentially meaningful things that they're wrapped around psychologically out of their psyche. And it's truly just, you know, I just uncovered and made explicit something that's just, that's very mechanical. It's not something you have to believe. It's not something you have to do. It's called, I'm sorry, your head is for having ideas, not for holding them.
And there's a system around it. But if you get that fundamental idea, it really kind of all follows. Well, from that, getting it out of your head. But then I think also very, very important, this constant reviewing process, right?
Oh, well, you know, a trusted system. And that's, I think, a key element of the GTD, you know, format.
And that's the phrase that made every geek and every software writer very happy, David, and made them a lot of money.
It's I wrote about this in my last book. It's why my stuff was the first non-tech meme that spread through the tech world like crazy.
They loved it.
And one of the reasons is it gave them an actual real powerful way to use their favorite geeky tools.
Yeah, boy, there are so many GTD tools out there.
Oh, well, you know, at last count, there were over 300 software apps that had been built purporting to support the GTD model. And basically, they're just glorified list managers.
But originally, your system was paper-based. I mean, you could do it all with folders and paper and... Yeah. And
well, the system is not about the tool. It's not right. about the methodology. It's about the thought process.
Right.
You need tools to facilitate the thought process. That's why it's so tricky and why everybody so identifies with the tool. Wow. You know, I trained, you know, probably 8,000 engineers at McDonnell Douglas in the middle 80s with a black book. I was the first importer of the Danish paper planner, Time Design, which was just the most elegant graphic. Mm. You know, thing you could, and the Danes were the first, the Europeans were the first to really catch that, you know, a paper system that sort of mapped to what my mind needs to keep track of and context and perspective. They were really the first to do that, and the early 80s were the heyday of that, and then that translated into more commoditized versions of Daytimers and Franklin planners and things like that, you know, in the late 80s and early 90s. But that was, that whole idea was that You, if your psyche can't be the best system, you then must have some sort of system. So you can't just do it in your head unless you're a trained yogi, and I'm much too lazy to do any of that. You know, you can't focus on anything longer than a few seconds before your mind gets trailing off into something else unless you have a tool. So the tool is a very, very critical element, but it's not the essence of it.
Right. So I guess we should probably explain how the basic system here, so that people, I think many of the people watching know about GTD. It's become part of the geek, you know, ether. Everybody kind of has it in their head. But let me see if I can summarize it. So the job one is to get the stuff out of your head into a trusted system, an in-basket of some sort.
It's got to be trusted so you're not worrying about it.
You completely forget about it. I don't have to think about cleaning the garage ever again, because I have a system now that will tell me when it's appropriate to think about it and not otherwise. Stop me if I get anything wrong, David. And then you go through this in basket and you look at it and you decide, you make some decisions based on what you see. Is it actionable? Then if it's not, you don't do it, or you say, maybe I'll do it down the road. Someday maybe, you call that. Or you save it for reference material. If it is actionable, then it gets kind of interesting. And I love this part. And boy, I this is so useful. If I can do it in less than 2 minutes, do it.
Just get it done. Get it
just
out.
Do
of
it.
Yeah.
What are you thinking about it for? Do it.
Delete that email. Don't leave it.
If not, then you have two choices. Actually, I guess you could decide to do it later. But you don't. This is not in this chart. Mostly, it's delegate. I guess do it later would be one, or delegate it would be the other. Get somebody else to do it, or defer it. Put it in your calendar. Put it on your next actions list. Have it somewhere. And then the key is, now that you've processed all these items to do, is to review it. Review it daily. Review it weekly, and to see what's the next action in each project and so forth. Is that a decent summary? I think I made a hash of it, actually.
You did great, Lou.
You're very kind.
You're going to sign him up.
I give you a C+.
C+. Okay.
B plus. No, B plus. At least. You got the essence of it. The essence of it is basically, you know, you have to be able to. Are we still there?
Yep.
Oh, good. You have to be able to externalize the stuff to begin with.
Right.
So capturing it, it's actually different than organizing. What they did was I defined these five stages of what you need to do to get things under control and sort of clear the deck psychologically around you. And that it's true about clearing your kitchen, getting control of your kitchen or your country or your desk or your head or anything. And the first thing you have to do is you have to identify the stuff that's pulling on you, the stuff that's not on cruise control.
Yep.
So that's why you need to write the stuff down, throw it in your in basket, put it on a list, call your answer machine, leave yourself a message, you know, text yourself an email, whatever. I need to grab this potentially meaningful thought. What you don't want to have to do is decide what it means yet. In other words, while I'm taking notes in a meeting, I don't want to have to decide what exactly does that mean to me, and is that really important to me? Later on, I need to do that. But the first thing I need to do is I need to make sure I've captured placeholders of potentially meaningful things. Then I need to make sure that sooner than later, I'm going to take those potentially meaningful things and decide what they mean to me.
Right.
To your point, that says, look, is there something to do about that? Or right. was that a commitment I made? Is that just reference material? Is that trash? Do I need that? What? You know, I throw away probably 80 to 90% of the notes I take. I just don't know which of those notes I need to throw away while I'm taking them. So those are two different processes. And most people haven't made that distinction. It's a very critical distinction.
Yeah, because otherwise you spend a lot of time struggling as you're dumping all this stuff out, struggling
exactly.
with what to do.
You're trying to set priorities. You're trying to organize while you're trying to collect. And right. and you've now compressed these different best practices into one practice.
Right.
And you'll blow up. You'll implode. That's why most everybody's systems doesn't work. That's why everybody gave it up and they're trying to keep stuff in their head because they were trying to do it in some external way that frankly sucked in terms of how they were to do
it. If it were easy, everybody would do this.
The temptation, though, is sometimes you get something easy and you're like, well, I don't want to run it through the system. I want to jump ahead. Right. Is that okay, or should you be very mechanical?
What does jumping ahead mean? If jumping ahead means do it, sure.
Do it. If you can do it under two minutes, do it.
Right.
I love that.
Well, that's either the two-minute rule that says just do it now because I'm trying to get all my unprocessed stuff processed, but frankly, that's just an efficiency factor. It'll take me longer to stack it and track it and review it than it would finish it right now, so why not? However, if you pick something and say, that's interesting. I need to email my uncle. As a matter of fact, I need to bring him an update about what I'm doing in my life right now. And you just go over to your computer and spend, 2.5 hours writing your uncle. That was just, I stopped processing and decided that was the work I needed to do. So you moved out of a processing context and you moved into a doing context out of the work that you have available to you to do. So you just made an instant judgment call. So if Tom, what you were referring to, it says, it seems easy to do. I said, well, does that mean you're going to do it right now? If it's not, then easy to remember, you're screwed.
That's easy to remember, I think, is the downfall.
I'll remember that.
Yeah. Oh, it's only one thing.
Oof. Yeah.
I fall for that all the time.
Your mind is so seductive, guys.
Yeah.
If everybody listening and watching this right now could get, emotional intelligence, great stuff. Could the planet just wake up and do mental intelligence? You are not your mind. And everybody's letting their mind run them. Because your mind thinks of it, you think it's so obvious, it's so self-evident, I'll never forget it. And 2 minutes later, when the next obvious self-evident thing pops into your head that you'll never forget, you forgot the first thing. The problem is some part of you didn't. And that's where people are backing this thing up like bad plumbing into their psyche. And then they're feeling this gnawing sense of anxiety, but they can't find the source. There's just this feeling that there's things I've committed to, that there's meaningful things that I ought to, should be paying attention to, and I have no idea how big they are, where they are, where they came from, or what they are. And it was simply because you let your mind, which is a great servant, run you.
Boy, if there's one incentive for doing this system, it's that right there, which is you can get rid of all that anxiety, all of that free-floating, I know I have something I have to do, but I don't know what it is. It just goes away, and that's that mind like water. It really is nice if you can get to that.
Well, listen, guys, look, I don't want to give the false impression that this is going to make your life easy. Give me a break.
Life's not easy.
No. You just need to be dealing with the problems you need to be dealing with and not be distracted by a whole bunch of crap and residue that backed up on people's brains. You need all the energy you can deal with to deal with the recession, or you just got laid off, or you just, your significant other just left you, or you just found out you got a major terminal illness. Come on, guys. That's when the heat's on, is when you really need to have these tools built in that you're not distracted by things that should not be distracting you at that level. You need to be thinking and accessing much higher and deeper levels of intuitive intelligence. And that's, I think, what GTD did was I didn't solve the problems in your life. I said, I just helped you clear the deck so you can actually address them appropriately.
It's not easy, but let's not make it any harder.
Yeah. How do you keep that carrot in front of you when you're sitting there and you've learned the process and you're like, okay, the thing I need to do right now to get this done in 2 minutes is put this appointment on the calendar. And there's that part of your brain that's like, I don't want to put it on the calendar right now. I'll remember that, or I'll get to it later.
It's like the exercise demon. It's like,
exactly.
It's the same thing. There's really no difference there in terms of just changing habits and changing behaviors and changing comfort zones about that. The issue is just like exercise is, how fat and flabby and slothful are you going to feel till some part of you has to get your butt up and at least walk around the block, if not run, And so, the way I make this point relative to all your, tech folks, or actually for anybody out there in the world these days, it's like if the good fairy just showed up and disappeared all of your emails right now, boom.
Hallelujah.
They're gone. In 10 days, you'd have exactly the number you currently have. It has nothing to do with the volume you have. It has to do with your comfort zone of how many unprocessed things your psyche will tolerate in terms of comfort. Mine is zero. Now, it's never zero because there's always stuff coming in. It's just that if there's anything above zero in my backlog, there's a part of me that feels itchy, antsy. I'm not taking showers 24 hours a day, but at least once a day. You know, I'm feeling the grody factor just got too high. So, you know, I'm oftentimes have a screen or a screen and a half of emails that'll pile up that I'm not processing while they're coming in. But I get it zeroed out soon enough. So it's really about just reducing that. Because the big key, guys, is surprise. Something's coming toward you you can't see. And when that hits, how much backlog of potentially meaningful things do you want to have to try to assess that against? So because I know something's coming toward me I can't see, you know, whenever I'm not doing anything else, I'm cleaning up the backlog. Because when that new input comes in, I need to evaluate that against all the other stuff that I think is meaningful to me. But if I got a big pile of still unclear what it means to me, new stuff comes in, I'm pissed. I'm not feeling like, wow, new input, new opportunity, new creative thing to put in my mix to then recalibrate to be present in my world. And it's really that change from being a half a beat behind to half a beat ahead. That's only one beat if you do the math.
Are you a fan of the Inbox Zero, which is inspired by GTD?
Sure.
Yeah, because that seems like it's just an element that's been pulled out to kind of... It's actually what has drawn me into getting better about everything.
Well, come on, guys. How many messages in your voicemail and answer machine do you let mount up? See, it's interesting.
Quite
because
a few, if you ask me. I hate to say it.
I actually know somebody who never listens to their voicemail.
I'm sorry. I'm talking to the tech world. Yeah, they don't pay attention to the voicemail. They don't want to be dealing with emails. But the truth is that everybody cleans up. You know, everybody knows the value of cleaning up.
Yeah, it's a nice feeling when you've done it. Yeah.
People feel the best about their work a week before they go on their big holiday.
Right.
And it's not about their holiday. It's about what I'm collecting, I'm processing, I'm clarifying. I'm getting clear about my commitments with myself so that I can then renegotiate those so that I can be present with what I'm doing. You can only feel good about what you're not doing when you know what you're not doing. And that's the process that GTD does. It clarifies what it is that you're not doing and what doing looks like and what done means. And those we're not born doing that.
David, do you see yourself as a coach for people, as a teacher, that you have a system that you're teaching, as a guru? What do you see yourself as in this?
I'm just sharing. It's kind of like I'm just a messenger of something that I personally found critical and valuable and useful to me.
Yeah.
Then I also found, everybody that I started to share it with, and it totally, without exception, improved their current condition, improved their ability to feel in control and focused. So, of course, after 35 professions, I became a consultant because what else do you do if you don't do with your life? And so I said, well, now I've got a great arrow in my quiver in terms of something that I can assist people with that facilitates their ability to be able to get more done with less effort. So I said, well, that's cool. But frankly, personally, I'm probably more of just a researcher and probably an educator. You know, yeah, there's nothing. People say, David, you know, I'm going to be 66 in just a few months. And they say, how do you still stay so engaged with this? I mean, as I'm talking to you guys about this, well, I go, well, look, what else is there to learn if you don't know this yet?
Right.
This is what the planet is about. This is what we're doing. So I somehow, you know, latched onto something that made an implicit successful behavior explicit, so you could do it a lot better and a lot more consistently. And my timing was right. You know, the world has exploded for everybody in terms of the stuff that screws them up if they don't do this. So I'm kind of all of those guys, but yeah. Probably more than anything else, I'm always curious, like my next frontier, you know, we could talk about it too, what I think is next. Like, what do you do after you have a clear head?
Oh, I'd love to talk about that. Not that I have anywhere near a clear head, but
yeah, come on, guys. I'm still so lazy. I don't want to have to think about what I need to think about.
Right.
That's good. When I do a weekly review, I still have to think. Now, wait a minute. What do I need to think about my system, and what do I need to look at? And that could all be automated. Nobody's done it yet.
Have you internalized this to the point where you don't think about how doing it? You just do it, or do you still even have to think about the steps involved?
I don't think about the steps involved, but I still have the same resistance everybody does.
Yeah.
know, I'm looking at, you know, hang on.
That's bad news.
Here's wait a minute. Here's my in basket, right?
Oh, I hate you. Oh, look at that.
But it has stuff in it.
Yeah,
like,
but
oh my God, it's the last 30 minutes. Stuff has shown up, and right. and what right. do I do with this?
Right.
But the cool thing is once you get the game, then it's like, well, that's kind of cool. It's fun to look at that.
Oh, that's
but
good.
I don't have to worry about. The cool thing about that is I can let that pile up to a huge pile because some part of me trusts I know the game.
Right.
By the way, brand new book out. It is coming out tomorrow called Willpower. It has a whole chapter, a lot about me and a client that I work with. And I didn't disclose this, but he did. And so they went and interviewed him, Drew Carey. So, a lot of what they did, this is a psychologist, Baumeister, who did all the research on willpower mm-hmm. that Tony Schwartz and other people have quoted, and John Tierney, journalist at the Times, big champion of my stuff too. They co-authored this book, a fabulous book called Willpower. Anyway, point of all that story is that the research has found that the mind, the subconscious, cannot let go of incomplete things if it doesn't feel like there's a trusted plan that you have consciously to manage it.
Right.
And that's where a lot of the stress comes from. And they said, you know, it's funny kind of how they did that. But the psychologists have now all figured that out. And they said David Allen figured it out. He just came from the streets, not from the, you know, not from the, you know, the academic part of it. But the same thing is really true. As long as your mind trusts, I have a way that I can absolutely trust that in basket will be processed. I can clarify my commitments. I can step back and see all that whole game. And I know that I can get back to feeling confident about what I'm doing and what I'm not doing and that whole mix. You can relax even when you have a huge pile of unprocessed, incomplete stuff around you once you know the game.
I think that's important to note because one of the things that seems to allow you to do is not feel like you have to constantly be clearing that inbox out, right?
Well,
you don't become a servant of the inbox.
Tom, to that point, people say, what's going on? What's the biggest thing that's going on out there in the world? And especially for the, you know, anybody on your mobile devices, the world, the professional world is living in emergency scanning modality.
Constantly.
And there's no light at the end of that tunnel. Why is everybody in emergency scanning? Because they don't do weekly reviews, mm-hmm. because they don't clean up. Because they don't get their email and backlog to zero. They're constantly worried that they're missing something. And so they're constantly on. It's sort of like if you don't do a weekly review of all of your projects and commitments and bring up the rear guard and get everything current, there's a part of you that's always subliminally trying to do that, but never finishing. So you're constantly in this modality of, what's next? What's next? What's hottest? What's latest? Oh, a YouTube that I can go, you know, give me some sort of, you know, numbing out modality. And that's the problem. So to your point, that's why everybody feels like they have to be so on is because they never really are.
And then if you actually do get in a position where you're not checking your inbox every single moment, you confuse the hell out of people. And you get the, did you get my email?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it, but since you're here, tell me.
Yeah, but see, once you start to do this, there's a strange phenomena that occurs. Once you actually start to do really manifest GTD, you get less crap. You get less of that, did you get my email?
Yeah.
You get less of that kind of stuff. It's almost like, I bet everybody watching or listening to this knows somebody that you wouldn't go into their office out of control and unfocused.
Right.
You just wouldn't do it.
Right.
You'd feel too embarrassed. So you get your act together before you show up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In other words, the world gives you not what you need, but what you put out.
Sure.
So if you're putting out, you know, control and focus, that's what people tend to give you.
That's interesting.
It's kind of the more out of control you are, the more people dump stuff. Where do you throw empty gum wrappers? On a clean park or one that's full of crap already?
I don't throw them on Leo's desk.
It's pretty clean right now.
Yeah.
But think about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Think about that. I mean,
right.
look around your offices or wherever you are, and it's called, who are you willing to go just dump a bunch of stuff onto? Or the people that there's got a bunch of stuff dumped there, and you can dump it without feeling very bad. Or you have to raise your noise level so loud to get through their stuff. And that's the problem. Another problem. If you get a GTD environment, and we're starting to see a lot more of them now, you know, organizations, departments, divisions, teams that are starting to do this methodology, you get very quick and very quiet. And an open office works very well in that environment. It sucks if you don't have it.
I realize this is a self-defense manual for modern times is what this is.
Exactly.
This is a keto for having too much stuff.
Yeah.
Well, as somebody described it, it's like I'm the Henry Ford of knowledge work. You know, it's like, look, and that's why I think that's why another reason the software people took to this is because, you know, as somebody said, David, you defined all the subroutines.
Right. Uh-huh.
Once you pick it up, it goes.
It's automatic.
X and Y. Right?
Easy
if
to implement.
Crash, you
yeah.
throw. You know,
yeah.
if not move now, later on, move to tickler file.
Right.
If needed for reference, put in reference. I mean, duh.
You wrote a program in English that's easy to implement. At first, right. I thought geeks liked GTD, and geeks do love GTD because we just love systems, you know.
And flowcharts. Yeah, totally.
But now I realize that maybe we're the canaries in the mine, that because we are early adopters of all these technologies, we're the ones who are battered and beaten down by all these inputs, and that we need it the most, maybe.
Yeah. That, too, and Leo, you're the ones whose whole industry is based on making things easier for people using technology and methodology.
True. Yeah, coming up with an algorithm.
So, come on, yeah. That's the whole point of this.
Do you have a favorite system? Now, I remember last time I asked you this. I mean, you still use a paper-based system. You have tickler files and tear off pieces of paper, things like that, right?
Well, I use a combination. I like to print stuff out of my. I mean, I got computer and
right.
you know, Mac and Lotus Notes and BlackBerry and all that geek stuff. And at the same time, there are a lot of things I print out simply because if I'm going to go meet with somebody or I need to think through something, sometimes the paper version of paper form of it is a lot easier to integrate together.
Right.
There still is probably nothing better. And in our seminars, oftentimes we bring our model paper planner. For even high-tech people, when they see that, they go, now I get what the computer framework needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very difficult for the computer to actually model a three-dimensional or even four-dimensional brain model. Still very hard to do. And the problem with the computers is out of sight, out of mind. And that's why paper is like, duh, you know, in my face, that reminds me, oh, I see now.
Right.
And that you don't get that out of the computer. You can, and it'll get there at some point.
I know Merlin had the 5x4 cards.
Yeah, right.
That hipster thing that he carries around with him all the time. And
hey, look, come on. You know, Second Life and Linden Labs, they're big champions of my stuff. And I went up there. I was doing some work with them. And I talked to their head of ops. I mean, the guy who runs the back end of, you can imagine, the bandwidth these guys do. And I said, how do you manage all your computers? He said, 3x5 cards. Computer ain't sophisticated enough. So I thought, well, that's a
big old box of punch cards. Nobody's touched it in years or anything
there's
else.
There's a story there.
That's a revelation. So what is your trusted system, David, right now? What do you, when you, I saw that stuff in your inbox, what do you, where do you put that? What is your trusted system?
Well, you know, I have a combination of things. You know, when I pick this up, this will go, Bill Gross, Space Engine, Idealab, University. Okay, cool. What I'll do is I'll put it through my own process. Call, okay, what actions do I need to take? Is there any information I need to capture here just in terms of reference? Reference will most often go into Lotus Notes. We're a Lotus Notes shop. I've been for 15 years. You know, there's nothing beats it in terms of just a digital library. And so, you know, some of that may go into there. Some of it may go into Personal Brain, which is still a kind of an outlier reference system.
That's a mind mapping system, right?
Is sort of. Yeah, Personal Brain is it's an associational mind mapping system.
Okay.
That's not quite like mind mapping. I also use Mind Manager. So I use Mind Manager as a mind. So if there's something that's relative to a project that will have an endpoint, that's probably going to go into Mind Manager just as collateral material. Back to the core part of the system, what do I do with actions and projects? I use, again, the task within Lotus Notes. My technologist for many years built an addition to Lotus Notes called eProductivity based on my model. That's probably the most elegant piece of software that really greases the skids to be able to use a huge desktop app like Lotus Notes, but to be able to then format it, the actions that you keep track of and just lots of cool things in there. So I use that. So that's, and then that syncs to my BlackBerry. So I carry around a BlackBerry that then has all my all of those lists that I create within Lotus Notes. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, I hate asking you the question because it implies like there's a best practices or one best way to do it. And I think everybody who implements GTD does it in their own way. That's the beauty of it. It's very sure. flexible and very elegant.
My wife uses OmniFocus and an iPhone.
Yeah, that's right? What Merlin likes OmniFocus, yeah.
Yeah, OmniFocus. Ken did a great job. And Ken and his staff went to my seminar and they went, oh, my God, that should be a product. You know, so they...
And yet for some of us, that's overkill. It's like too much for me. I don't want all that stuff. I kind of like a simpler system.
That's always been my issue, is that when I want to jump from something a little more complicated than just a straight task list, which I could do in a text editor, right? I don't really need anything. Everything else seems to be so overpowered from what I need that I end up just going back to using a straight ahead task list like that. Well, and maybe that's fine. You know, I don't know.
It's fine if your head's empty. It's just that a straight ahead task list.
Look, he knows.
From my experience, guys, most mid to senior level professionals have 30 to 100 projects and have over 150 next actions. So where are you going to keep all that? You put all that on one list, it'll blow a fuse.
Yeah, right.
So that's what you should do is just get all your content out there, and then you decide how complex a system you need to simplify it. See, the cybernetic principle is that you need to match the complexity you're managing with the complexity of the system in order to simplify it.
Yeah.
If you're trying to manage a too complex thing with too simple a system, you'll overcomplexify it. So that's why just a simple calendar and to-do list, if that worked, I'd be out of a job. That would have happened with Daytimer, you know, 100 years ago.
True.
So Tom, I just say, just ask yourself, look, is everything out of your head that you're committed to and you find meaningful? And if so, if one simple list makes that the simplest way to manage that and review it for you, be my guest. I have no agenda about that. The only reason we came up with all the complexity was because you needed that complexity to manage the complexity of what people were dumping out of their heads.
Yeah, and you still need the system, right? I mean, you can have a task list in a calendar, and if you don't maintain them and you don't review them and all that stuff, you know, it doesn't work. What do you think of this idea? I have practiced this, and I don't know if this fits into GTD or not, but it's the idea of using the calendar to schedule time for tasks. That's not like a meeting or an appointment or anything like that. You say, you know what, I need to write a script, you know, or I need to prepare for a show or whatever, and I use it that way. And I think that exports a lot of stuff that I do into a different arena that might be on somebody else's task list.
Well, Tom, that's very individual to the person, because what you don't want to do is set yourself up for failure. So schedule something and then break your appointment with yourself. So, you know, that's very, very dependent on your own personality, what you can, and also your life and work style. What's coming at you? You know, how many times will that get unhooked, or do you actually have control of that?
Right, right.
See, if people are controlling your calendar, or if some part of you has enough comfort and it's not so much self-discipline, but you already have the habit that once it's on your calendar, you actually follow your own directions.
Right.
If that works, then absolutely that works. You look ahead and go, look, I'm going to need, especially if you need longer than an hour of uninterrupted time. Less than an hour, you can probably squeeze it between the lines just as soon as I can get to it kind of a list. But anything that says, God, you know, that I really need to sit down and think this thing through without a whole lot of interruption or whatever, and I need a block of time to be able to do that, then if you do not have those blocks of time, I often do because I have long plane trips. So oftentimes a coast-to-coast plane trip, I'll know that I'll have time to be able to crank on that. But sometimes you actually do need to do what you need to what you do. And that's perfectly appropriate. The problem is most people, that's why daily to-do list didn't really work, because they as soon as the telephone showed up, you know, they blew the hell out of your daily to-do list. And, you know, studies have shown that most people, if they actually sat down and created a Monday daily to-do list, they created more work than they could do in the whole week.
You know? That's so true.
Yeah, so
it can be frightening.
You know what I do schedule, and I learned this from The Power of Now, Eckhart Tolle's book, is to schedule leisure time. Because I think, I don't know about you, but I can spend so much time working that I forget that it's important.
I used to schedule lunch and block it out on the shared calendar.
I understand all that, but I'm suggesting that it's all leisure.
Uh-huh. Oh, dear. Wait a minute now. I'm going to have to get my head around that.
I mean, are you guys in leisure right now, or are you in work? Tell me.
Well, we're working, but it's
This is leisurely.
It's a leisurely pace.
What you're saying is digits. I need to schedule time to do other things than X, Y, and Z.
I agree with you. The distinction between the work and play is really muddied these days. And it's all work in some ways, and it's all play in other ways. You say in your most recent book, Making It All Work, that there are three groups of people who have read your books. Those who think they got GTD but didn't really get it. Those who got some of it and realized they didn't really apply it like they should. And then finally, which Tom and I both say we're probably in that group. And those who really got it and really implemented it to an advanced level. And you say that's a minority of everybody who's read your books. You think it's a small group that really gets what you're up to here?
Well, if you say what I'm up to is why you're on the planet, to be responsible for everything, every place you have put your creative energy, and to make sure you get completion or acknowledgement or forgiveness about that.
Well, I guess it's
and then where you focus your creative energy so that it's maximally and optimizing why you're on the planet.
Right.
You tell me.
Yeah, I think we'd all be Einsteins at that point, wouldn't we? Yeah. Be a different world.
But the cool thing is whatever of this you get, if you get nothing more out of watching this thing but the 2-minute rule,
right?
That'll improve your life.
So, that's true.
So what? You know, but if you say there's a lot of this onion that can be unpeeled and a continual improvement process that this what looks simple
right.
Can uncork. You know, one of my latest tweets was that sort of the zen of GTD is be transformed without having to be transformed.
That's very
In other words, all you have to do is start doing some of these very, very simple little behaviors that everybody knows how to do. This is not like some foreign language or some new technology. Duh, write it down. Duh, decide a next step. Decide what outcome you're committed to. Duh, park those reminders somewhere. Duh, step back and look at it on some consistent basis. But once you actually start to do that, you know, the almost daily emails we get from people that go, oh my God, this transformed my life. Oh my God, I was able to keep my job. Oh my God, this allowed me to get through this hugely traumatic event in my life. So it's kind of nice to be involved in something that there's so little risk in being involved in it and so much potential reward. That's, I guess, one of the reasons I'm so enthused about it.
Well, and I think that's a really good point to say, even if you just do the 2-minute rule, you're at least improving things, and it gives you hope that, you know what, there's still more for you to do. If you're feeling overwhelmed, there's still more that you can apply that'll make things better. I mean, you know, that's kept me going sometimes when I'm like, you know what, I know I'm not doing this right, but I'm going to do these things that I've gotten good at doing, and I'll get better at it.
I get discouraged because I can't tell me how many times I've done the brain dump and got through the system and I've tried different ways of doing it. And then inevitably, a week or a month later, the wheels start to come off, and I'm back to the way I was. Give me some advice there, David. What can I do to keep on track?
Keep on track?
Yeah.
Keep coming back? Come on. You weren't born wanting to brush your teeth.
No.
All right? You didn't even have teeth. But soon the authorities go brush your teeth. I don't want to brush my teeth. Brush your teeth. I don't want to brush my teeth. Go brush your teeth. I don't want to brush my teeth. And then you go in and go, you know, and how long did that go on? And one day your parents are not home and you go into the bathroom and you go, what happened?
Right.
You internalized a new behavior. Why did you internalize it? You got used to what it felt like to have teeth on a consistent basis. So it's the same thing. It's just, I clean up my in-basket and do weekly reviews for exactly the same reason I brush my teeth and take showers. If I don't, the scuzz factor gets too high. It's just a psychic scuzz factor, not a physical one.
So I just got to keep doing it till I get to the point where I have to.
You just keep doing it until somebody says that is standard operating procedure.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
not an exception.
Yeah.
And you link it to a reward. With the teeth brushing, it's your feet. Your mouth feels better to you. With this, it's linking it to, like, I've got that clear mind.
And I'm clear
and
at the reward.
Get around a bunch of people for whom you having a clear head is absolutely critical for you to get their okay.
Yeah. Right.
A lot of it has to do with getting into environments where this has started to be expected behavior. Not a nice to have. This is a got to have. As a matter of fact, why on earth is your brain going somewhere else right now? Could you get present, please? Otherwise, get out of the room.
Right. Is there a domino effect where, you know, one person starts getting clear and doing this well, and that starts to have a positive effect on everybody else, makes it easier for the group to get that direction?
It can be. a lot of it depends, a very, you know, big it depends.
Sure.
You know, a lot of that. Certainly, if the boss starts to do it and you walk in to talk to him and they pull out a list of the eight things that they've asked you to do and they go, gee, how are you doing about the X, Y, Z? And you're going, gee, where do I get my list?
Right.
You know, who's that guy you spent time with? And,
yeah,
you know, so a lot of it depends on what is the environment and what does your world demand as a result, you know, or as a behavior. And if you don't care, if they don't care, you know, come on, nobody's going to change a behavior. So it really is. All I'm doing is I'm just the messenger out here and says, look, guys, if it gets, you know, at some point you will probably want or need to know this. And, you know, to your point, Tom, do I have to implement all of it to start to feel better? Oh, heavens, no. As a matter of fact, one of the Simpson writers, a lot of the Simpson writers are big fans of my stuff, and I interviewed them, and one of them said, David, all I get out of your stuff, he said, the whole idea of a someday maybe list, and he said, and I didn't implement anything except every few months, year or so, I'm just feeling, ah. And I sit down, and I just dump everything out of my head, and I look at it and go, damn, that's not me. And I'm good for another year. And that's all I do. And I'm going, wow. I improve this guy's life. You know, who cares how much he implements? He did that.
You know, everything is someday maybe for him. Everything.
Just get it out. Yeah, no, I can see how that would work.
I love that. Is there something that when you see people who don't quite get it, that people really struggle with getting, that if they got, that would make a big difference for them? Is there a point or two that, you know, really can help make this click for people?
Yeah. Yeah. First of all, just get it all out of your head.
Yep.
You know, that's the sort of the critical first best practice. That,
and when you say it, you mean all those things that are weighing on your mind and those things you think you need to do.
Yeah.
Anything that has your attention, you need to start paying attention to what has your attention.
Right.
Because there are a lot of important things that don't have your attention. Why? Because some part of you trusts that it's on cruise control. So when you start to notice what's on your mind, that's telling you that there's something not on cruise control about that. And so if you could get it onto cruise control just by thinking about it, heck, you know, life will be a lot easier.
David points out, you always think about the thing you can't do right now. Like, I'll be sitting here thinking, I got to clean my garage. Well, I can't do anything about that right now.
Yeah, I'm sitting here thinking I need to clean my inbox.
By
the way, you don't need to write down anything that you trust life will let you know. I don't need to write down do laundry. No underwear makes it clear. You know, and you know, Catherine and I don't need to write a grocery list very often because, frankly, if we walk down the same store, all you have to do is walk
same
down
things.
The aisles. That's a sufficient template. That's a sufficient checklist just to walk down the aisles. So there's a lot of things you can just trust life will let me know.
Huh.
You know, obviously, parents with new babies don't need to write lists about what their kid lets them know.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Children will be served. So a trusted system is not necessarily writing it down, putting it in software, writing it on whatever. It just says, I need to trust that there's a part of me that can trust that if I go through life, this will be handled in some appropriate way.
Right.
And so if it's on your mind, i.e. bugging you, as opposed to just doing creative thinking about it, which is what your mind is really for. But if you keep being bothered by something, you know, there's a big difference between putting your attention on something and having your attention held hostage because you're trying to focus on something else, but, oh, I need cat food, or, oh, I need to redo the strategic plan, or, oh, my God, we're leaving on a trip in 7 days and I haven't got tickets. You know, and that's the kind of stuff that if you don't capture that, capturing it to begin with and then putting it in some obvious place so it's in your face to then make a decision sooner than later about what you're going to do about it, those are just the you know, significant best practices about all this. And they're really four. Get it out of your head. Decide actions and outcomes committed to. In other words, what stuff means sooner than later. Park the results of that thinking in some place so you can keep an inventory of your commitments. And then step four, make sure you're stepping back and looking at all these commitments regularly so you feel okay about having a beer or going to sleep or, you know, doing a strategic plan or whatever you need to do as the next thing.
It is its own reward. You really do. Even just getting out of your head, you feel good.
Sure.
So it is its own reward. And I think that that probably does, you know, self-generate that kind of behavior. It's been 10 years. Over the years that you've been doing this and implementing it, I'm sure you've learned a lot. If there's some things that you've just recently learned that you didn't know before, or things you thought were good that don't work, or I imagine this is a constantly evolving system.
It's evolving. What's really evolving is how to get people to understand this and implement it.
Communicate.
As I say, it took me 25 years to figure out what I'd figured out, but it would probably take me another 25 to figure out how to educate people about this and get stick. So I've got staff and other people working with me who are better than that than I am. And, you know, Meg on my staff, who's head of our coaching, has taught me a lot about what people can absorb, what they can't absorb. And if you're really going to try to walk back into your world and implement this, what you need to pay attention to. And oftentimes, you know, if you read the book, as you guys said, it can look overwhelming. Tom, you made this point. It can look like, oh, do I need all that? And, you know, understanding that, well, if I were really going to educate you, I'd say, no, you need as much as you think you need. But tell you what, why don't you dump everything out of your head and then you tell me whether you think it makes sense to separate project from actions. And by the way, once you clarify all those 150 actions, if you actually did that, I say, you want to keep all that on one list or you want to separate those into phone calls versus errands? Oh. So learning that people didn't sort of get this intuitively and instantly, and learning how to transmit this information to people in a way that they can relate to it in terms of their own pain or opportunities and challenges, that's something I'm learning every day.
Sure. You're not big on – I've used many systems, but many of the other systems require prioritizing things to do. You're not big on prioritizing.
I'm huge on prioritizing.
Oh, you are?
In fact, yeah. I mean, it's just how many different priorities do you have today?
Yeah.
How many things – by the way, that's not only how many things you did, but how many things you thought of today. Is how many priorities, different priorities you had. So you tell me if ABC comes anywhere close to mapping to your reality. Now, you know, come on. You know, you can't fault it. As a matter of fact, you need to sit down and say, look, God, if I had an extra 15 minutes right now, what would
What's
give
the
me
most
the
important?
Biggest bang for the buck if I did it?
Yeah.
Come on, you can't get rid of that. That, that truly is what you need to do to feel comfortable. It's just that, you know, daily to-do lists haven't worked since the telephone. And ABC, you know, come on. As soon as you have to go to the bathroom, job one changes.
Yeah.
You know?
Literally.
And if you don't acknowledge that, you're going to feel guilty when you're in the head.
That's really true.
Wait a minute.
I'm doing C. This is number two. I don't understand.
Right.
What happened to number one? So, but I do love this next action thing, because that is something I can get my head around. I can do the next action. I may not be able to do the whole big project, but I can do the next action.
Isn't that magic?
It's really magical.
It's such a magical thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a big key about that. If you read the book, Willpower, that I mentioned before.
I can't wait to read this book. Yeah.
Yeah. The whole idea, it's Baumeister and Tierney, the two authors.
Okay.
And it's launching tomorrow, so you'll see it. The whole idea of having a trusted – if you haven't figured out the next action yet, there's a part of you that doesn't trust you have a plan.
Yeah.
And therefore, you can't get it off your mind until you decide what the next step is about cat food or find God or rewrite the strategic plan or whatever. If you haven't figured out the very next step, you actually haven't finished your thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a part of you that says there's a huge delta between what I'm thinking about it and what I actually need to do, and I haven't figured out what that delta is. As strange as that sounds, but that's why people avoid planning, because it means you have to step into the void zone where you don't know exactly what to do. You have to kind of trust you'll make it up. So the power of figuring out the next physical, visible activity about something. And the cool thing is you don't have to know anything about how to do the big thing.
Right.
You just know, how would I find out?
Yeah.
You know, pick up phone, punch seven numbers at random, see who answers.
I hope people, having watched this, will get some idea of the value of this. The book to start with is Getting Things Done by David Allen. It's everywhere. Easy to find. Penguin, the publisher. And then there's the middle book, which I don't have here. I think it's at home, which was
Ready for Anything.
Ready for Anything, that's right.
Yep.
And the new one is Making It All Work. All three of them together really give you a great grasp of what's going on and how to do something about getting a command of your life, I think. David, it's really great to talk to you.
You too. You know, always fun.
Yeah.
Indeed, really.
Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
David Allen. And you'd give seminars. We should mention that. Where can people find out more about David Allen Co. and
Oh, go to our website, davidco.com, davidco.com. We do public seminars, one-day seminars all over the place. So check it out. Lots of free materials and so forth. If you do davidco/info, I-N-F-O, there's some free articles you can download there. So just get on our list and you can get some cool freebie stuff.
Yeah, that's one of the nice things. You've really given away so much of this that it's there's lots of places to go to find out more. Thank you, David.
Yeah, thanks. I enjoyed it, guys.
Great talking to you, David.
Bye-bye. David Allen, Penguin, the publisher. I want to read that Willpower book. That sounds really good. Ariana Huffington says, David Allen is a master of marrying the sensible and the sublime. You know what's funny is when you go to people who are really effective, they all know about this. They all use this. It's just the way. It just makes sense. It's the way to do it. Thanks, David. Take care.
Cheers.
And thank you for being here for Triangulation. Don't forget our sponsor for the show is Netflix. If you are not a Netflix member, this is a good way to get nothing done. Join Netflix and watch a lot of TV. No, actually, this system will help you get more Netflix watching in. Netflix.com/twit, right. 30 days free.
You won't feel guilty while you're watching.
Right, exactly. Just wonderful stuff you could play on your PC, your Mac, your iPad, your iPhone. Most TVs, Blu-ray players, Xbox 360, PS3, Nintendo Wii. I use a Roku. I love Netflix. When it's time for me to get some leisure time, Netflix is the place I go. And if you are already a member, tell a friend. Netflix.com/twit for 30 days free. Who do we have next week, Chad? Do you know? What? Don Tapscott. Oh, I love Don. Don Tapscott will be joining us. That was Eileen shouting down the hall. Don Tapscott will be joining us. He is just fascinating. He's the guy who wrote Wikonomics. He's really an expert on the digital society and growing up digital, are the next generation of kids who've grown up in a digital world and what that all means. Some very controversial but I think thought-provoking ideas about the role of higher education, newspapers, and more. He's really great. Don Tapscott next week on Triangulation.
Looking forward to that.
Thank you, Tom Merritt, for being here.
You bet.
We do this show every Wednesday, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern time. That would be around 3 in the morning UTC. I don't have to say live.twit.tv anymore.
Oh, that's right.
Twit.tv, our main website now. And you can watch live, but you can also get all the previous shows online there if you look for the Triangulation page. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on Triangulation.